October of 21.
Okay.
Weighed in at my heaviest, 350 pounds. I went for my physical in December of that year. The doctor's like, listen, you need to do something. I was borderline diabetic, borderline high cholesterol, borderline high blood pressure. Like, he's like, if you don't do something now, you're going to be on all kinds of meds.
Oh, geez.
You're going to be in a grave early.
Men, this is a place where real masculinity is painfully learned, deeply celebrated, and aggressively deployed. We are committed to training you how to fight the war against all that is fighting you. This is the Dangerous Man Podcast.
Welcome, gentlemen, back to the Dangerous Man Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. We have a special guest for you, an everyday hero segment. Rory, yes. Why don't you introduce our everyday hero?
We got a good buddy of mine joining us today. His name is Joe Meeker. We go way back, way back. But man, Joe, can you say what's up to the guys?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man? It's great to have you here today, man. Great to talk with you. Before we kind of get into things, I got to stretch a little bit because somebody hurt his back this morning. Ugh, lifting too much weight. Yeah, anyways. But, man, excited to have you. Excited to just talk about, you know, dude, the massive things that you've overcome in your life. And so let's kind of get in. If you could, just tell the guys a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What you do? And what are you obsessed with? A current, you know, obsession. I know the answer to that, but why don't you go ahead and share it with us?
All right. Well, you know, I'm 44, about to be 45, getting married soon.
Getting young,
my
baby.
Fiance, summer. That's right. You know, and we've been together almost 6 years. I'm actually getting married on our 6 year anniversary. You know, we have, her and I have, we have a 18 month old son, and I've got two older kids. My the son, he's 22. My daughter's 20. So it's kind of like starting all over, you know, life part two.
It's a reset, man.
That's right, with everything, you know. And I've been doing the same. I'm a collector for credit union. You know, I've been doing some form of collections for 20 plus years now.
That's going to be
all
fun.
Over the place. And some obsessions, you know. I'm a huge metalhead. Love going to live concerts and stuff like that. It's a therapy session for me.
Yes.
And something that I've really taken the bull by the horns over the last year is gotten huge into running.
Yeah.
You know, and putting miles under my feet that I never thought I would.
Dude, so if you could share with the guys, so when I first met you, you were a big boy. You were, I mean, I was a little boy, but you were a big boy. And so, man, share with the guys, like, where you started and then kind of just where you're at now, and then let's kind of talk about the middle ground stuff.
All right. So back in December of 2021, October of 21.
Okay.
Weighed in at my heaviest, 350 pounds. I went for my physical in December of that year. The doctor's like, listen, you need to do something. I was borderline diabetic, borderline high cholesterol, borderline high blood pressure. Like, he's like, if you don't do something now, you're going to be on all kinds of meds.
Oh, geez.
You're going to be in a grave early. You know, and at that time, you know, me and my fiance were trying to, you know, because neither of us, we're not spring chickens, so we're trying to have a, you know, have a baby.
Yeah, they're so much fun to make.
Kind of face. They are.
Yeah.
You know what though? I'm having a lot of fun playing with the little dude. So
yeah,
I'm good now that I can. You know, but the doctor made a suggestion that I go see this surgeon.
Okay.
So on February 14th of 22, I went and met with a surgeon, a bariatric surgeon, you know, and made the decision. I was like, you know what? I need to do something because I had been trying. I had been trying and trying and trying for years since I met you and before.
Yeah.
I've been trying to lose weight and all I did was fail. No matter what I did, I failed.
Yep.
I would lose like 20 pounds and gain 30. You know, so
what were some of the things that you were trying to do that you were just kind of throwing at the wall and hoping that it would stick?
Oh my gosh. I did keto. I did intermittent fasting. I did those ones where you drink liquids in place of, you know, food. And I tormented myself. I hated myself because, you know, it wasn't fun. So it's hard to stick with something brutal like that, you know? So we sat down and he told me, he's like, listen, you got a couple options, you know, I can help you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went over the options and I made a decision at that point, you know, and it was one of those where I didn't even think about it. It's like, you know what? If I think about it, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
So I made the decision. I started on the journey. You know, I had to do this deficit you have to do beforehand.
Right.
Took me a couple months to get through all the steps and get the releases from the other doctors. But on June 2nd of 22, I went in and had the gastric sleeve done. I weighed in at 333 at that point.
Okay.
You know, so you're talking from October to June, I had lost only 17 pounds trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be so discouraging. Like, that's going to be so discouraging.
You know, it's and before then, you know, I always put on a great facade, but I was struggling with depression and anxiety, and, you know, I hated myself. And it was just like I looked in the mirror and I was disgusted with what I saw, you know, and I would constantly say to my fiance, I was like, what do you see? How can you even like what you see? You know, I put on a happy face, though. You know, nobody would have ever known that I was struggling deep inside.
Dude, that's
and it's not something that
that's
I
a
talk
crazy
about.
Thing. That's a crazy thing about you too. That like I, dude, you are such a like from the outside looking in at you, like you're such a happy-go-lucky guy all the time. Like you're always amped up in your spirits. You are always like you always were energetic and encouraging other people around you. And like, so it's wild to see that, like, you know, for us men, like we can appear one way and then totally be absolutely opposite internally, you know, mm-hmm. because outside looking in, man, you would have never known. You would have never known. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was dark. It was dark, you know, because there was a lot of bad thoughts that go on, you know. And I mean, mainly the biggest thing that kept me going through all of it was the fact that I had those two, you know, my first two kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how bad I was like, I can't do something stupid mm-hmm. and leave them, you know. So that kind of helped me get through. But it was tough day to day. It was tough to get up and actually want to go do something and want to move forward, you know, and put on that happy face so that people weren't asking, hey, what's going on? You know, what's the matter? Yeah, because I didn't want to talk about it with anybody. I didn't feel comfortable talking about it with anybody. You know, I had no confidence at all. Like, I was like just a shell of a guy. I wouldn't even say I wasn't even a man at that point. I was just a shell of a guy, you know, walking through life.
Wow. So after
now,
yeah,
yeah. Now it's forget it. I've got confidence, you know. Through the roof at this point, you know. Yes. I put my mind to something and I'm just crushing it no matter what I do, no matter, you know, it's all, you know, I've built that up now over the last few years. And, you know, I've dropped 170 pounds. I'm down to 180 pounds now from top of 350. I'm smaller than I was in high school.
You're smaller than me right now, bro. You're smaller than me right now. Dude, my goodness. Man. You literally lost half, like a whole nother man. You just like cut
it
off. That is crazy. So go ahead, man.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, take us to after the surgery when you're recovering and everything.
Because
like
it wasn't just the surgery.
Where your mind was at.
No, like, definitely not.
Yeah, and where your mind shift kind of happened post-surgery.
It's a lot. And, you know, they send you to, I don't know if they're called psychologists, psychiatrists, the ones that they mess with, you know, they mess with your mind.
Yeah, tinker with
your head. To make sure that you can handle it. They want to make sure you can handle it because it's not just a physical toll on your body. It's a mental toll, you know, and if you're not mentally strong enough, it's gonna send you into a spiral. And you know, at the first couple weeks after surgery, you know, there's no solid foods. It's all just drinking, you know. And you sit there and you're like, how can I be filling up? You know, you're used to sitting there eating a big meal.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is this going to fill me up, you know? And it's really retraining yourself how to live.
There you go.
And working yourself back up to, you know, the first like 2-3 weeks, it was just straight liquids. And then it was soft food, like pureed foods. Then it was soft foods. And it was 2 months before I was eating like solid food again. But by doing that, you kind of retrain yourself to eat proportion size.
Yep.
You know, as Americans, we don't.
Oh, we're out of control.
Our portions are ridiculous. And
now that
I've had this done, I see it.
Yeah.
You know, because now I'm like, all right, we'll order a meal, and that's 3 meals for me now. You know, it's like, wow. And that used to be one for me before.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a lot of mental training. But, you know, people have said to me, oh, you cheated. You know, you took the easy way out. Here's the thing.
It's
a tool.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a tool, right?
That's right.
When you're doing a you know, a remodel on your house, if you have the tools, is it going to be done? No, you got to put the work in.
That's right.
You can have all the best tools in the world, but if you don't know how to do the work and you don't put the work in, forget it.
Bro, that'll preach.
Yeah, I've seen a couple men that have gone through that surgery, and then they just go right back to the same old habits that they were doing before. And it's tough to see. Yeah, so I just commend you on that mind shift change of like, I've started this journey and I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick myself in the rear and get going.
Dude.
Oh, definitely. You know, like I said, I've got all the confidence. I'm the happiest I've been in years. Man. Like,
you can hear it.
It's
bro.
Just, I, yeah. You know, I wake up each morning and I'm like, all right, let's go. You know?
Yeah.
I love that earlier you were like, I was trying I was trying this diet. I was trying that diet. I was trying this thing. I was trying that. And then I noticed, without any prompt, he literally shifted his wording into, then I started training my mind, then I started training my habits, then I started training my diet, then I started training in running. And, you know, we talk about it on the podcast all the time, Joe. We talk about, you know, it's time for men to stop trying and start training. Trying gets you nowhere. Trying doesn't produce results. Right. Training produces results. Nope. And you literally are the epitome of someone who shifted from that trying lifestyle into a training lifestyle. And the training produced massive results for you across the board.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. What is your everyday routine of training look like in the morning when you wake up and all that? Just take us through that.
I don't do nothing in the morning. I get up early enough as it is. You know, I get up at 5:30.
Yeah, boss.
You know, I get some, you know, have some coffee, and then I head to work. But it's after work and stuff
that, you know.
I try to get in, you know, I work on getting in some runs.
Yep.
You know, I'd like to get in at least a few runs a week. You know, the weekends are the big thing for me. Those are the ones where I run a lot of races. Yep. I drag my fiance and my, you know, my little guy.
Heck yeah, out, dude.
You know, and they're my biggest cheerleaders.
I love it.
The only time they don't go is if it's raining. If it's a run that it's raining, they don't go. And I get it. But other than that, she's out there with me. You know,
she's
been out there with me when it's like 30 degrees out and when it's always up to 80 degrees. She doesn't care. She's out there. She sees me off.
That's crazy.
At the finish line waiting for me, cheering me on. You know, no matter how long it takes, you know, I'll have, you know, a run as quick as 15 minutes like I did, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before, all the way up to one. It took me over 3 hours. She was still there waiting for me, you know. So
yeah, those aren't runs. Those are called marathons.
No, that was a half.
Oh my goodness. I don't know, man. Only a half. Bro, yeah. I don't run from anything but the police, so I don't know.
Yeah. So that's something that we need to do as men is leading in our homes, and you've clearly done that. Where else in your life do you feel like you're leading and leading well?
I mean, my kids see it, you know, and this is one thing. And it just kind of, it just kind of hit me about a week ago. You know, my son, he was starting to head towards, you know, he's 22. So he started drinking, you know, he's legal. Why not? You know, have some fun.
Yeah.
He started packing on some weight.
Yep.
But he had mentioned to me, you know, I'm going to go to the gym. And mm-hmm. he kind of quietly started going to the gym, you know, and now he's like, hey, I've lost, I want to say last week, he told us he's lost like 35 pounds. It's like, nice. Whoa, you know, but I honestly think, you know, it's from him seeing me push myself
to him,
like, okay, he was uncomfortable. Now he wanted to push himself, you know, dad can do it. I can do it, you know? So I see it coming on a lot of people. You know, I've had a few friends that have gone through the process now and are living better lives, you know, because they saw what I've done. You know, I have a few friends that have told me, listen, I've started doing this because I've seen you can do it. I can do it, you know? So that's definitely been huge, you know, in kind of boosting confidence, but it's something that I didn't notice was even happening around me.
Yeah. You
Cause
don't.
I was just kind of like doing my own thing. I wasn't doing it to inspire anybody else. I was doing it to better myself.
And I think, Joe, that's something, you know, when you said, I think that you were the catalyst. No, 100% you were the catalyst, because I'm going to tell you guys, all day long, when dad changes, the whole family changes. Like, and this is part of the burden that we bear as men, is like, you can talk all you want. You can tell your kids, you can tell your wife, oh, this is what we should be doing. But if you're not doing it, they're going to look at you and go, well, he ain't doing it, so I ain't doing it. Like, you're flapping your gums, but you're not moving your feet. And I will tell you 100%, Joe, that because you made the change, you know, I know you said, you know, I didn't really want to inspire other people, but that's what your story is going to continue to do. I mean, you went from 350 to 180 running marathons for fun on the weekends. Like, oh, I got a couple hours. I'll just squeeze in a quick 5K. Like, that is different. That is such a different mindset from where you were. And guys, when we change our family, the same thing happened with my family. As I started working out, I started getting up early, I started eating better, I started getting rid of crap foods, and I started telling our family, hey, we're just not buying this anymore. We're not eating this anymore. This is not healthy for you. And, you yes. know, I can say that all day long until they see, like my son now, he rocks his mornings with a protein shake with me now. And it's just, it's nice. Crazy because it's, if dad does it, your whole family, dad, is watching you. And when they see you doing it, they're going to emulate it. It might take a little bit, but then, you yep. know, I mean, it was a few months. And now Jenny and the boys go to the gym 3 times a week. Raina goes to, I mean, she doesn't go to the gym, but she was doing gymnastics. And so, like, my family just became more active and they started emulating the things I was doing because they saw that there was benefit. And they saw results that were being produced in my life. And I think it's just a natural human thing. We want, well, that's working for you. We human beings, we want to do what's working. We don't want to keep ruining ourselves. And so, yeah, 100%, Joe, you led the way as dad, as the leader of the family. And the way it's designed to, by God, we're supposed to be leading our families. And 100%, man, 100%, you were leading the way. And that's why your family's going to continue to benefit as you continue to lead the way. Your son's going to follow. You're being the example. And that's a huge game changer.
Yeah. And like I said, it wasn't something I was trying to do. All I was trying to do was better myself. And it just happened, you know, and as I sat back and kind of looked at it, you know, and people are telling me this, you know, yeah. I get kind of uncomfortable with it, you know, they're coming up to me, oh, you're doing a great job. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, thanks. Yeah. All right. You know, but you know, I sat back and started thinking about it. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, a couple of really good friends, you know, they're like, oh yeah, you know, because of you, you know, you can do it, I can do it. I was like, okay, wow. And then, you know, I got all these others. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never even crossed my mind. You know, it's just been so busy trying to do what I need to do, you know, to mm-hmm. make, to hit my goals.
And that's where Joe, your story is going to continue to impact other people. Like all the guys listening right now, I guarantee you there's some guys listening. They're like, wait a minute. He went from 350 to 180. Now, guys, that didn't happen overnight. Right, Joe? You didn't just like, oh, no. Surgery done. No, you put years of effort into running and into training and into consistently doing the things that were totally different from what you were doing before because you wanted different results.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Joe, have you noticed from all this, from running and continuing to train, any other areas in your life that it's impacted, maybe that we haven't talked about?
I've got more energy. I find myself, you know, I sit behind a desk at work, and that's driving me nuts because I've got so much energy now. I'm sitting there, my legs are shaking, and
just go in the vault and start curling some gold bars.
You know, I with the last place I was at, they had a gym, so you know, I would go down during my lunch and do a quick run to get some of that energy. Out here, I don't have that, so it's like during the day I'm kind of bouncing. You know, I just got a desk where I could stand up now, so I'm like, all right, cool, I'm standing up and I'm doing like squats and all that kind of stuff just to kind of kill off some energy.
Yeah,
you know, but that's been one of the biggest things. You know, I was very very you know, just kind of like before, where I would just come home.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Just and try, just sit there.
Yeah, just trying to get through, you know, through the day, let the day pass you by, and just get by.
Exactly.
Bare minimum. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I quit smoking a little 5 years ago. I was a pack to two packs a day smoking. Mm. I quit smoking about a little over 5 years ago, January of 2019.
Nice.
So what did I do after that? I picked up more drinking.
Mm.
I was replace drinking one addiction three, four, with another. Five pints a night.
Whew.
You know, and that's what put a lot of that weight on.
Yeah,
it was all that drinking. Now, afterwards, I still do here and there, but not as much as I used to.
That's
you
good.
Know, and now I learned to enjoy stuff at a smaller amount. You know, whether it be, you know, I've branched out. I was like, huh, I'm gonna stay away from beers. I'm gonna try a mixed drink or something now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same with foods and stuff. Yep. We've cut out like you, Rory. We're not buying a lot of the crap.
Nope.
You gotta get
it out of your life, dude. It's terrible.
Yeah.
The food.
Well, you don't have to get it. You don't have to get it out of your life. Because you know what? If you cut it out completely, you're gonna fall back on it. Because you can't deprive yourself completely of it. So it's okay to have it here and there, you know? I know you've said before, I've heard you talking about Oreos and how you would love to just smash the whole bag.
Bro, I literally was like, he's gonna bring it up.
But here's the thing, you know, they sell those little life single packs at the store.
Oh,
you know, once
gosh,
every few months.
Dude.
It's cool to have something like that.
Maybe.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
You deprive yourself.
It's a slippery slope.
But that's the thing. I you know, I'll have stuff here and there, but it's to remind myself, this was good, but this was what put me in that situation.
Well, I'm like, dude, if you're eating a couple Oreos, but you're doing 10 miles in a week, like those Oreos aren't touching you. They're not even touching you. They couldn't even try.
All right, truth. But
you know, but again, so I love what you're talking about there, Joe, because you're talking about transitioning from a sedentary life into an intentional way of living and a training way of living and constantly being conscious. Like so much of what we do, I always wonder this, like how much of our eating habits are based out of like timing and addiction versus hunger? You know what I'm saying? Like how much of like when we're like, oh, it's time to eat. Well, who said it's time to eat? Did your body say it's time to eat or did the clock say it's time to eat? You know, is our addiction to food? Because we're addicted to food. Mm-hmm. Like food is easily addiction. And especially the way they make everything that's prepackaged and preservatives and everything that they cram into it. It's made so that you keep buying more and more and more and more and more. And it's just it's horrible. And I do like what you said about how you can't just cut it out totally. I think certain things, you definitely probably just like, you don't need it. But you have to trade that for something that's benefiting you health-wise, which is, I mean, what you did over, you know, the course of the many years that you put into this. And it's a different, like I did an episode that went live today. It was my first 100 days in the gym. And I talked about how it's not, it's not so much of a habit change. It's a total lifestyle change. Like an absolute lifestyle change. Because you don't behave any way that you used to. I would say from outside looking in, it doesn't look like you behave in any way when it comes to the habits that you had. You have totally different lifestyle now.
Correct. Yeah, definitely.
And it's one that benefits you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Easily, you know. I want to be around a while. If I kept up those old habits,
yeah,
I wasn't going to be around a while.
So can I hammer on that for a second? Because you're over 40, right? So what did you find any you know, you're over 40. It's okay. I'm over 42. But you're over 40. And one of the things I experienced is like it was harder. It was harder to do things that before when I was younger, I'd be like, whatever, I just knock it out. It doesn't matter. I'd have the energy. And when I first started, I didn't have the energy. I didn't make it happen. Did you experience that at all?
I'm gonna go and say no because
wow, you're just so amazing.
I'm
just picking on you.
Here's why. Back then, I was a portly fellow that smoked a pack to two packs a day, so I didn't have any energy. What are you talking about? I could barely walk a mile without like wanting to sit down.
Yeah.
So with this whole change and starting out, yeah, it took me a little bit to build up the stamina and that, you know.
Right, right.
It took me almost 7 months before I was able to actually run a full mile. And I'll tell you what, there was tears. When I hit that first mile completely running,
oh, man.
I sat down on the edge of the treadmill and started crying. You know, I don't care, whatever.
No, that's what reality. They want,
but I'm telling you, that was emotional, dude.
Wow.
Especially because of the fact that, you know, just a couple years ago, I could barely walk a mile, never mind run a mile. Even in high school, I couldn't even run a mile.
Yeah.
You know, and just building it up from there, you know, I've had so many huge accomplishments over the year. You know, I just had over this last weekend, my memory popped up, was my first actual race.
Yep.
You know, my first official 5K. And just to see where I've come in 1 year of doing, you know, all these runs, you know, like organized runs, I've completed many 5Ks, multiple 10Ks. I've done two half marathons so far. The first one was really tough. I wasn't prepared. I didn't train properly. So the second one, which I did the beginning of last month, I made sure to train, you know, and get right in the head, be prepared.
Yeah.
And I crushed it. You know,
I set
some goals at the beginning of the year. You know, one of my goals, and I'm a little behind right now, but I'll get there, is I want to run 1,000 miles this year.
Gosh.
I'm only at 110 miles.
Wow.
So I'm 140 miles behind where I need to be. But we got the good weather coming, you know.
Yeah, I'll get out there. Coming, man. Yeah. You'll clock
you
a
know,
lot.
You know, one of
summer.
The other things. Oh, definitely. One of the other things was I put out that I want to run at least 4 half marathons. I'm signed up for, you know, I got 2 next month and 1 again in October. So that's my 4 for the year.
Nice.
If I don't do any more. And the other one was that by the end of the year, I wanted to be able to completely run the half marathon, you know, and not walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And on March 3rd or 2nd, when I did the one, at Hampton Beach.
Yep.
I ran the whole thing.
Way to go, man. Wow.
Yeah, so
even just talking about it, it gives me chills now because I came over the finish line. My fiance was standing there, you know, right into her arms, and then like at that point I could barely stand, but yeah. I just kind of
catch me.
I just kind of leaned over the post afterwards and just like started crying.
Yeah,
I mean, it's. Blows me away to see what the body can do. I went into it as like, all right, if I can run at least 8 miles of it, I'm going to be happy. I got to 8 miles. It's like, all right, I'm in uncharted territories now. You know,
nice.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
You know, my legs, my body was sore, but I was like, nah, you're not that sore. You're good. You keep going. You know, I wasn't letting my body tell me what to do. I was pushing it with my mind. And I tell you, I slowed down a lot. but I just kept pushing through. So it is, it's mind over matter. And that's what this whole journey is mind over matter. Yeah. You know, by this days I wake up and my body just doesn't want to do it, but yeah. I have to push to do something, yeah. You know, to make sure that I keep going.
Yeah, Joe, I want to get that a little bit. So when you're going through these runs, or maybe you wake up and you don't feel like doing it, what's going on in your mind? How do you motivate yourself, yeah. or what do you look to keep going and keep pushing forward?
Well, during my runs, I just put on a little bit heavier music and turn it up. Music it. To me is a motivator. You know, it's a huge motivator. I've done some runs without music and I don't do so well, but give me like some headphones and go. And it is.
Cause all you can think about the whole time is like, I'm running, I'm hurting. I can't breathe. I'm hurting. This is why I don't run without headphones. No way. Well, I don't run anyways, but right. I don't like working out without music. Oh God. Like I couldn't even imagine that. That would be terrible. And I can't imagine running for, you know, miles and miles and miles without something to distract you from the pain.
Yeah. Maybe from like race to race, or when you're in between stages, do you look back on maybe who you were to motivate you, or do you look to something else? Oh. Maybe, I don't know, a Goggins or someone else that, it's kind of been through it to keep you going.
Easily. You know, I look back at where I was, you know, when, especially on days where I'm feeling, you know, because you still, you know, again, it's a mind game, you know, even going through the process that I've been going through with the weight loss, your mind still messes with you. You know, there's days where I'll wake up and I feel like, I'll feel like, oh, you're still that old, you know, that fat, out of shape guy. Even though you look in the mirror and you see it, you're like, oh, you know, it's just your mind. It messes with you. And so I have to look back and say, you know what, and keep that mindset. Be like, I've come a long way. I know I have. I still got a little ways to go. And then it's to maintain, you know. Yep. And so I definitely use that as a motivator. And there are a lot of groups, you know, out on social media that, you know, people are going through the same thing, you know? So if you're having a down day, you could post something up there and you're going to get inspiration from others.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they, you know, if you're having a tough time with something, somebody's going to be out there that has dealt with that and has gotten over it as well. Yeah. You know, so I've learned definitely to reach out, and same with, you know, with the running in that, you know, it's like, okay, there are some things that I don't do correctly or that I'm trying to figure out. Mm. So I'll, you know, we'll reach out to the different running groups and be like, hey, you know, I'm having issues with this. Anybody got any suggestions?
Yeah.
You know, so it's falling back on people. That's huge, you know, and making sure I don't, you know, fall back into my old habits. Mm-hmm. You know, I still deal with, you know, the doctors and that, you know, yearly with my surgeon, but yeah. I still see a nutritionist, yeah. Even though I know what I'm doing, it's just talking to her about things, because I have noticed that there are days where I'm bored. Hmm. And guess what? I'm standing in front of the fridge with the door open. You know, I was like, wait a minute. You're not hungry. Yeah. Grab a glass of water.
Yep. It's not hunger. That's habit. That's not hunger. Yes. That's habit. You know, if you ever find yourself doing that, like I'll do that sometimes, like I'll open the fridge. I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. And then I'm like, dude, you just ate an hour ago. What's your problem? No, you ain't hungry.
Right.
Like keep them close the fridge. Get out of here. I mean, it, you know, now it's different because there's a lot of different things in our fridge now. There's not the same stuff that was in there before. And you know, and just more conscious again for guys like what Joe was saying, you know, being able to step out and ask for help. So if you're looking to start your journey, you're looking to get healthy, you're looking to you know, build muscle, you're looking to lose weight, whatever, like talk to the people who have done it or are doing it, or even like I said on the last episode, talk to somebody who might be wanting to take the journey with you. Talk to people who know, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Swallow your pride. Your ego ego is one of the biggest enemies we have as men. Our ego will literally take us, like you said, Joe, you know, your ego's always, that's your ego. Your ego's always trying to tell you, no, you don't need this. No, you don't need that. Like, don't trust your feelings. Your feelings are so misleading. Oh, I feel like you said, I still feel like that fat guy back in the day. And it's like, dude, you've lost hundreds of pounds. And it's amazing that your mind can still tell you, no, you're still that guy. And it's like, oh, hell no. I put that dude to death. I am not that man anymore. I am not that man. And guys listening, remember, as you're going through the journey, and this is why, you know, falling in love with the training, falling in love with the process is so important, because then when that mind stuff, those mind games start to come back, right, as they will, then you're going to be equipped to say, no, that guy's dead. I don't know who you're showing up. I don't know who you're talking about, but he's not here no more. He's not here no more.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this. What has been, outside of the training, and I mean, you talked about like just the mental – like the mental game was a really hard thing to overcome. Were there any other things during the process that you feel like were like just extremely difficult to like just heads up, these things are going to hit you, when they hit you, here's what you do? Anything like that outside of those things?
I mean, it's for a while I was in a lot of pain, but you kind of got to push through it. You know, that's a big thing. A lot of people will quit because the pain is too much.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot. The one thing I've gotten more comfortable with it is, mm-hmm. you know, people that haven't seen you in a while, they approach, oh, wow, what did you do? You know, and then you say something to them, you know, say, oh, this is what I did. Oh, so you took the easy way out. You cheated.
Oh, well, like when you're talking about the surgery piece.
And dealing with the whole life change.
Why do people think? Sorry, I'm like an interrupter all day. my bad. I'm sorry. But why do people think that? Why? Like, I don't understand why. Like, if you're so far out of control in one area, like you said earlier, using the tool to get there. Like, why would we think that's a cheat code? I don't know.
I don't know why people think that, you know. I mean, maybe it's because they're not, you know, they're not informed. They're uninformed.
Yeah.
You know, you get that information, you know, you don't know, like, what kind of work needs to be put in. I didn't know the kind of work that needed to be put in, you know. I was nervous when the doctor told me, and after I said, and that's why I had to say yes immediately. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, you'd overthink
because the anxiety would have kicked in, you know, and all that. And that's just it. You know, you're uninformed. You don't know what the process is. So you make it up in your mind what the process is and what's going to happen. So, you know, I would have played it out like, oh, this is going to be too much for me. I can't do it, you know, because I didn't have the confidence back then to do anything, you know. So there really hasn't been much. I mean, really, the only negative that I can say that I've had is, and it's something that I got to work on with my doctor at this point, is when I do injure myself, it takes me a little longer to heal. I don't know. We don't know why yet.
Because you're old.
It could be a vitamin. that could be a possibility too, but, you know, that one's going to be on the back burner.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know? But it could be a vitamin deficiency that I have right now. We don't know yet, you know? But if that's the only negative I have, where a cut or whatever takes a little longer, all right, I'm good. I'm okay with that, you know, because all the positives definitely outweigh the negative.
Oh, 100%, man.
Yeah. Joe, why don't you share with the men listening something else that you might be training for outside of working out and stuff in your life, and kind of what your next goalpost is for yourself, for your family, something that you're doing.
Well, I mean, I'm constantly in training for the last 22 years of trying to be the best dad, you know. It's tough, you know, and especially now, you know, I'm with raising the youngest in a whole different world from where I raised my first two.
Way different.
I'm learning pretty much to be a dad all over again, you know. And it's crazy. So that's definitely, training to be the best, because, I look back at when I had my first two and I worked a lot. I was, working 60, 70 hours a week. I mm-hmm. wasn't there for a lot of that stuff. And I regret it, because it goes by so fast. And I do regret it big time, And now I try and be there with them and do all kinds of, things with them and that. So I've looked at that and like, okay, well, I'm going to make sure I don't do that this time. I'm going to train to be a better dad, So I kind of have to keep looking into myself like, what did I do here? How can I better that, to be better for him and to be better for the other two as well. And in turn, it just makes me better for my fiance, because it takes more off of her. If I'm not there being the dad that I need to be, she's got to step in, be more of the mom, and that's not fair.
What's one of the things you would say, just one thing that you're doing that's something to help you train to be a better father? I mean, is there anything specific that kind of tips off?
I am being more, I'm putting more thought into, I can't even think of the word, more intent into what I do and how I approach the time that I spend. There may be times where I might be exhausted, after a workout or even after a long day at work, I may be exhausted, but you know what? I'm being more
intentional.
More thought, there we go. More intentional with my time. And I was like, okay, I'm going to spend, even though I'm exhausted, I'm going to make sure I spend a little time, playing with him.
Yeah.
To show him so he knows that, even though daddy, worked all day or just did this, he's tired, he still is putting that time in with me,
That's so huge,
that's definitely, I'm being more intentional with my time and all that with them, and that's paying off huge dividends.
Yeah. And I think, for all of us listening, I think we can all definitely do better at training to be more intentional instead of kind of having that because if you're not intentional, you're just going to have that laissez-faire approach. Like, all right, well, I'll just get to it when I get to it. And then years can go by and you didn't get to it. And then your kid's like, hey, am I an afterthought? What's up here? Or you just miss out on those developmental things that, when you get to those older ages, there's not as much of an established relationship with you and your kids because, we didn't put the work in the first time, And that's why I think again, getting in there, being intentional, training in all that you are overcoming in yourself, that's going to bleed over into all the areas of your life, into your family, into your marriage, into how you operate in business and all these different things. And so, for guys listening, when you jump in this, you're not just jumping in a fitness journey. Like I said, you're jumping into a different lifestyle. You are changing how you live and you're becoming intentional, like Joe was saying. And that's what makes a good father. Like a good father's intentional. He makes sure that he's purposed with his time. And listen, dads, we are all very limited on our time, but we got to cut it up and give it to the best of the best of the best. And most of the time, listen, I'm going to say that time starts with you. You've got to be willing to invest in you. You've got to be willing to build you so that you're good, so that when you go and you spend time with your kids, right, Joe, might be tired. You might just ran 10 miles and you're ready to die, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to goof off and play peekaboo for the next 30 minutes with my baby because that's what's important, or I'm going to spend, another hour hanging out and goofing off with my son or my daughter or whatever. But, guys, I know there's a lot riding on you. I know that the world demands so much from you. But the crazy thing is that, men, we are capable of doing this. Like, Joe's story is literally showing you, I feel inadequate now. I feel like I have to put another workout in during my days because I'm like, this guy's running miles on miles. I'm going to run 1,000 miles in a year. I'm like, holy cow, man. And dude, I'm proud of you for chasing after goals. I'm proud of you for chasing after being a better father and training to do these things. And just, dude, you've made massive changes that have affected the entirety of your existence. How much do you love your life now?
Oh, I wake up every day, you know. Yeah, I may be waking up tired, but you know what? I wake up happy. I'm loving it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it's the best feeling. It's not dark. It's light now, you know. And
amen.
It's like I could, you know, I can hit this day and I'm just going to destroy it. You know, I'm going to tear this day up and make it mine.
I love it.
That's good.
I love it.
This is why I love this verse, 1 Timothy 4:8, when it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things."
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important for men to be able to start, maybe if they don't have a relationship with God, and start in the physical training, something they love doing, and kind of getting that lifestyle, because like Rory said, it bleeds over into family and all the other areas.
Yeah.
And it produces, you know, fruit in you and does that. So is there maybe a quote or some inspiration that you may have had over your years, something that you want to share with the listeners here before we wrap up, last words of advice or something like that?
Not so much a quote. I've done the, you know, been to church and do that, but I've never really been one to read into the Bible. But I tell you what, if you're on the fence, if you're thinking about it, do it. Don't wait. You won't regret it.
Yeah.
You know, again, I mean, one of the things I look at is I'm half the man I used to be, but twice the man I ever was.
Oh,
wow.
You said you weren't much of a quote guy, but you just rocked our world with that.
That's gonna
so
be,
hold on. Say it again. I'm half
the man I used to be, but twice the man that I ever was.
Yeah. Rory's going to put that in a picture. We like sending out after doing a picture of you with a quote on it, and so we like doing that for our guests that come on, so we'll make sure Rory puts that on
and
sends it to you and post it on social media and stuff. That's incredible,
dude. Listen, Joe, I'm proud of you, man. I'm pumped for this. I'm so grateful that you took time out of your day to just share your story with us and share your story with the men listening, and I can't wait till you crush through that 1,000. You're going to get it, dude. You're going to get it. I know you're going
to
get it.
Thank you for listening to the Dangerous Man Podcast. If you could, man, subscribe to the show today. Do not miss another episode. Subscribe. We love you and we thank you, men, for all that you're doing to grow and continue to challenge and change yourself while sharing the show with others. If you could, jump on Apple or Spotify or Google or wherever you listen to your juicy audio podcast and leave us a review. Let us know how the show has helped you, how we could do better, anything that you want. We want your input, men. Please leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. And also, if you're on Spotify, go into Spotify on these single episodes and you can click in there, and we have questions specifically for you about that episode. We want to hear from you, men. Jump on there. And last but not least, let's not let Dangerous Man be the best kept secret. Share the show, men. You can do it. It's a simple text message. Shoot it out to your friend and let him know it's time to stop trying and start training to be the man that you were designed to be.